Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
First things first. Everybody, can you say first today? Come on, say it like you mean it. Say first. Why put God first is a good question. And I want to give you the answer. The answer is, you ready? Because God is first. And we've been talking about this, but I want to make sure you get this deep in your heart and spirit. The reason we put God first is because He's first. In Isaiah 44, verse 6, says, "Thus says the Lord, I am the first and I am the last. And besides me, there is no God." In Revelation, speaking of Jesus, chapter 2, verse 8, the words of the first and last who died and came to life. Everyone say first. Come on, everyone say first. First, God is first. And here's the thing. Wherever God is not first, it is a lie. Amen. Wherever God is proposed to be second or later of priority, that's actually a deception. It's actually a lie. It comes from the father of lies, the devil, and he sows the lie that God is not first, but God is first. Amen? So, because God is first, and that is the truth, when we align our life to that truth, what does the truth do? Sets you free. Anytime you live under a lie, you're going to live bound. You're going to live enslaved to that lie. The world is living according to a lie, but we know the truth, and the truth is God is first. Can I get a good amen today, church? Come on. God is first. And when you get in alignment, the thing is, when one area of your life is out of alignment, it actually affects every area. It actually shows up in all the areas. So have you heard of scoliosis? Anybody heard of scoliosis? Like a spine thing? And when a spine is bent, the issue is that it doesn't just impact the spine. It puts the hips out, puts the shoulder out. It puts the whole body out. And I remember I had scoliosis, but I went to Michael Hubbard and his son, Pastor Phil, not Pringle Pastor Phil, the other Pastor Phil, and Lucy Hubbard are here today. They're our pastors in C3 London, part of our movement. Give it up for them. Mike's dad prayed for me and my leg grew and my spine straightened. And I was like, "Woo!" And he was like, "Yeah, I do this every day." I was like, okay. And here's the thing. When you get alignment right, when you get your agreement right, you get things in the right place, things start to function how they were designed to function. Like wheels that are out of alignment starts to affect everything. Can I tell you, church, the Holy Spirit is the best at bringing us into alignment. He is not the author of confusion. He is not the author of chaos. He takes confusion. He takes chaos and he brings it into order. This is what the Holy Spirit does. John 16, 13, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." This is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. He brings order, and he brings what is meant to be first to be first. Amen, church. I'm gonna ask for you to partner with me today. Come on. Church, we are called to align to the right order, and the right order is God first. And so at the beginning of the year, next week, we're going to pray. Amen? We're going to pray. We're going to fast for 14 days. And I want to ask everybody to be involved in this. We're going to get our heart, spirit fully aligned. We're going to fast food. If you've never done it before, fast something that kills your flesh a little so that you can build your spirit and get the revelation God is first. So next Wednesday night, we're online. Go to our website, 6:30 p.m. I want everybody there, and we're going to pray together. We're going to fast for 14 days. There'll be morning prayer meetings, and let's set our lives up for the year ahead. Amen. And then we're coming into vision for the year, and I want you to be ready in every way. So stewardship first is what we're talking about today. The scripture we're going to be based in is in Matthew 25, 14 to 30. Grab your Bible. Did you bring your Bible? Anybody? A couple of people? Digital devices? Thank you, Mr. Small. Love that. Anybody else? Yeah, the teenagers all have their physical Bibles. Who's got their physical Bible? Anybody? Yeah, okay. Grab it out. Let's read this together. Matthew 25, verse 14. Is it hot in here? I'm hot. Anybody else? Yeah, thank you. Andy said, I look good. That's not quite what I meant. But anyway, I'm hot. I'm on fire. Matthew 25. Are you there? Come on, talk to me. Are you there? Let's go. Here we go. Lean in. Let's go. Matthew 25, 14 to 30. It says again. Now, there's a bit of reading here, so I need you to keep up. I need you to keep up. And shout out to the lungs. Can't wait for baby lung. So excited. Babies everywhere. Long time we've been waiting for that baby. Amen. Woo! Can't wait. Okay. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey. Are you there? Okay, but again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one who had 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid. He dug a hole and he hid his master's money. After a long time, only like 3 people got the castle reference there, but that's okay. I'll keep moving. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. He said, Master, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Verse 22, you all with me still? You with me? The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, same thing to the guy with 5. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. He said, Master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, everybody just put your seat belt in, okay? You ready? The master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown, did you? And gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For everyone who has will be given more and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless, this is brutal, throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now we're going to unpack this. I don't have time to unpack the whole thing. That's why we have a devotional in YouVersion. If you want more, I want you to go home and study this week. Get some commentaries, unpack it. Go for it. You and I have the same Bible, same opportunity to unpack it. Do it this week.
The context of this passage is that Jesus is 2 days out from being arrested and he's taken to be executed, but he is teaching his disciples. He gathers them in and he's starting to talk about the end times and the second coming, when he will return on that great day. Everyone, you know he's going to return. Can I get a better amen? You know he's going to return. So before the parable of the talents, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. And Jesus is teaching here that we need to be ready for his return. You got to be ready for his return. Well, the parable of the talents is a follow-up from the 10 virgins, because now he's saying this is what readiness looks like. Being ready doesn't look like being passive. Being ready doesn't look like let's hide until we're raptured. Let's hide until we escape this earth. That is not what readiness looks like. Readiness looks like stewarding what God has given you. So what has God given you? Here's the thing. Every single person in this room, look around. Come on, look around. Online, look around somehow, I don't know. Look at the camera, look at me, look at my crazy eyes. Hey, everybody in this room will one day stand before God and you will give an account. You will be asked, what did you do with Jesus? And what did you do with what I gave you? Every one of us, and my job is to prepare you for that day that you can give a good account to God. What has God given you? God has given you resources. He has given you time. He has given you treasure. He has given every person in this room talent. What's time? It's your schedule. It's your hours in the day. How are you using it? It's your finances, your treasure. It's your wealth. How are you using it? It's your gifts, your calling, your capacities. How are you stewarding them? Every one of us will stand before the Lord and need to give an account of what we did with what we were given. And this is very important that you and I are ready for that day. We don't know when that day is. It could be any day. We don't know when Jesus is going to return. Some people say it's then. Some people are trying to guess the signs. But I got to tell you, we don't know. So what we need to focus on is not when he's coming back, but what are we doing with the time we've got? Two quick things I want you to get out of this parable. Two quick things, and then one really important thing. Two quick things. The first thing is we can't miss in the parable of talents that the master, who represents God, expects multiplication. The expectation is multiplication. You could write that down. That's a good point. It rhymes too. The expectation is multiplication. The guy with 5, the guy with 2, they got the same commendation from the master. Well done, good and faithful servant. So it was not how much they had, it was the fact that they multiplied what they had. They made more of what they had. Faithfulness is not just sitting on what you've got. Faithfulness is making more of what you got. Can I get a good amen in the church today? How are you stewarding what God has given you? Because you will have to give an account on what you did with what you were given. The mandate from God has always been in the Garden of Eden. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Genesis 1:28. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. The expectation is multiplication, always has been, always will be. So what am I doing with what I've been given? And here's what we need to understand. The second thing we need to understand is that the guy with one talent, the guy with the one. I mean, I don't know about you, but when you read that, it sounds pretty brutal to the guy with one talent. Because here's what he did. He didn't lose it, right? He wasn't like, oh, sorry, man, I lost your talent. Sorry. He didn't sell it for drugs. He didn't abuse it. He didn't misuse it. What did he do? Nothing. Nothing. That was the problem. The problem was that he did nothing with it. He hid it based on fear. And this is where a lot of people get stuck. Because we take what God has given us, and out of fear, we take no risk, and we try and play it safe in this life, like we're trying to protect this life with all we've got. You are a citizen of heaven. This is not where you come from. So we need to actually use what we've been given, and we need to step out of fear and into faith. He was afraid because he had the wrong revelation of who his master was. He had the wrong idea. He had the wrong fear of his master. He had a fear that he would be condemned, that he would be judged, that he had to get it right. He was so intent on getting it right that he did nothing. Can I tell you something? Sometimes worse than the wrong decision is indecision. It's the fact that you're not doing anything that's the problem. Not that you get it wrong sometimes. God can course correct. But a lot of us, our issue is we're so fearful of getting it right because we think we're on a tightrope with God. You are not. Perfect love casts out all fear. Come on, say it again. Perfect love casts out what? All fear. So our master is love. God is not loving. He is love. He is the exact embodiment. When God walks in, love walks in. When God is in your heart, love is in your heart. So this is the nature of our master. You must have the right idea of who your master is. He is not to be feared in the sense that he will condemn, but he should be feared in the sense that we are reverent and we know we're going to need to give an account to him one day. How are you doing today? Am I preaching too fast? Am I too? He was afraid. Don't be afraid. Step out in faith. God loves you. You know, kids that know God loves them, like, or kids that know their dad loves them, mum loves them, they're very confident. I seem to have one of those. He's very confident. He'll say things I'm like, wow, bro. Bold things. But that's what it's like with God. God loves you to be bold, to take risks with wisdom, but take risks, step out. Guys, we've only got one life. Listen, you came into this life with nothing. You will leave this life with nothing. The question is, what are we going to do in this life with what God has given us? And I think the most important part of this parable is in verse 14, and this is where I want to spend most of the rest of our time. In verse 14, it says, again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. He called his servants and entrusted. The key word here is entrusted his wealth to them. He entrusted his wealth to them. And I think the most important thing every person in this room, every member of our church right across Sydney needs to have the revelation that as stewards, we are entrusted, we are not entitled. You are entrusted, you are not entitled. I am entrusted, I am not entitled. Stewardship is predicated on the truth that God owns everything. And we all need to get this into our westernized soul today. God owns everything. Can you say it with me? Say, God owns everything. I know, I'm getting you to participate. That's what we do. Say it again. God owns everything. Say it till you really get it in your spirit. Say, God owns everything. Guys, God owns everything. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's. And look at this, everything in it. everything in it, the world and all who live in it. God owns everything, which means what you have, you've been entrusted with for a time. You've only got it for a time. Why? Because God actually owns it. Kingdom ownership is stewardship. You have it for a time. But here's the thing. Don't get your identity from what you're stewarding. Get your identity from who you are in Christ. Yeah, this is really important. This is a good point. If you get your identity from what you're stewarding, you're going to clench hold of that stuff. You're going to fight people away over that stuff. You're going to identify yourself. You're going to get value from what you do rather than value from who God has made you. My greatest title in life is child of God. Lead pastor down here. Child of God up here. I belong to God. I am His child. Come at me. I am God's child. That is my greatest confidence. That is my greatest identity. I don't get it from what I do. I get it from who God has said I am, and I am a child of God through Jesus Christ, and so are you. So are you. Don't get your value from that. Get your value from being a child of God. And here's the thing. The attitude that rails against the most, the attitude of entrustment, the attitude that comes against that the most is an attitude of entitlement. The attitude that undermines entrustment the most is entitlement. Entitlement is like treating your Christmas presents as wages. It's like treating a gift as, yeah, you owe me that. But the problem with entitlement is entitlement assumes God owes me. And I came to declare to you today, everybody, I love you, but you need to know something. God doesn't owe you anything. Romans 11:35, who has ever given to God? That God should repay them. For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. God owes us nothing. He has already given you the Bible. He has already given you Jesus on the cross, resurrected 3 days later. He has already given you the Holy Spirit. He has given you the church. God has given you so much. He doesn't owe you anything. So you cannot manipulate Him. You cannot blackmail Him. You cannot work with Him in a relational way where it is manipulative, where you're saying, well, I'll do that if you do this. And I've got a bad attitude because you didn't do what I want. God is not a genie. He's God, and He's first. And we are submissive to His authority, and we take what He has given as an entrustment, not an entitlement. Entitlement undermines grace. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Grace, salvation is a gift. Come on, everybody. It's a gift. You're not entitled to it. It's because of His goodness. My life is changed not because I'm entitled to it, not because I've been in church all my life. It's a gift of grace that my life has been transformed by the power of the gospel. Entitlement undermines grace. Entitlement is ultimately the fruit of pride. Is that we think we know better. I know best. I know how things should work. I know how God should do things. I know how everyone else should do things. I know best. That is an entitled spirit. And I got to tell you, church, that is not us. We don't walk around here with an entitled spirit. We walk around here thanking God for what He's entrusted to us. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And one of the ways entitlement shows up in our life is complaining. How you doing today? You're not ready for me today. How you doing? One of the ways you know entitlement is growing in your life is complaining is coming out of your mouth. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 10 says, Paul is saying to the Corinthians, don't be like the Israelites. Don't do it. I'm trying to help you here. He said, don't be a grumbler. Don't be a complainer. Because he says, do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. Read in Exodus. It says they complained and God was angry. I don't know about you. I don't fear the devil getting angry at me, but I do fear God. We shouldn't fear Satan being angry or the world being angry. We should fear God being angry. And God gets angry with complaining. God does not like a grumbling spirit. Here's what we must understand. It starts to creep in. When complaining starts to creep in, we need to move from grumbling to gratitude. Let's be real. I have a complainer in me. I know you thought I didn't, but I do. Talk to Jessen. Come on, who has a complainer? You have a complainer in you? Wow, everyone's super honest around here. And you know when you can feel your complainer starting to rise? You know? And you're like, oh, here he comes. Complainer Alex. Something happens and there's injustice or there's something. And your complainer, it's your preference, it's your opinion. And your complainer comes up. And here's the thing. We've all got a complainer in us. It's what you do with that complainer that is stewarding your attitude. Do you know what David did? He wrote the Psalms. Have you read the Psalms? Have you read the book of Psalms? You know the book of Psalms? David writes these songs. And this guy, worshiped him, you can join me. This guy knows how to complain. He's like, God, everyone hates me. They're all chasing me. Trying to kill me. It's your fault. Just complains to God. But you watch in every psalm, you read it. He goes from complaining, grumbling, to God. And he doesn't go from grumbling to God to gossiping to others. He doesn't go from grumbling to God to getting bitter about life. No psalm ends with him living and staying seated in bitterness. Everyone, he goes from some complaint, some getting some stuff off his chest to the Lord, and then he ends in worship. Every time, he moves from grumbling to gratitude, and this is how you ensure that you do not become entitled and have God angry at you. We need to keep our life pure, holy. How y'all doing, everybody? We keep our spirit right, and how do you do it? This is how. You bring it to God, and then you end in worship. Keys, just wait, Hen. I love it. Can you give it up for the keys? So sorry. I just wanted to do something. I wanted to sing. And it'll throw me because I'm not that musical. But here's the thing. Has anyone heard of Matt Redman? You know Matt Redman? He's great. British guy. He wrote this old song. It goes like this. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. But it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Come on, sing it with me. I'm back to the heart worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. And it's all about you. And it's all about beautiful Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. But it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. Come on, everybody. It's all about him. Anything I've got is for him, to him, through him. We aren't entitled around here. We are thankful to God that I got breath in my lungs. I got a purpose to live out in this earth. I got a beautiful church I'm a part of. I got a beautiful family. We got a beautiful worship team. We got an LED. I don't know. We're here together. You're in this room. We're just thankful. We're a thankful church. We're a grateful church. Look at this place that God has given us. Look what God is doing in the lower North Shore, in the upper North Shore and central west. We just walk around saying, wow, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for bringing me to this church. You could have taken me anywhere, but here I am. Thank God for Jeff and Tracy Berry, two heroes in the life of our church. Thank God for Andy Byers and our team, discipling our children. Thank God for our youth ministry and what God is doing in our youth. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for Dan and Kaylee Karatz, our fearless location pastors. Thank God.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.